Welcome to 105 The Ticket's video game podcast brought to you by Cold Omaha. I'm Tom Schreier. Ben's here today, but Max is not. I don't know why this is, because we honestly have made an effort, but Max is preparing for a trip to Japan, so he won't be on the show quite a bit just going forward here. But the one time Max was available, you were available, you can get to the studio.
Yeah, that traffic in the rain is never something I deal with well in the cities here. I've had 3 accidents in the rain
really?
Since I moved down here 2 years ago, and they've all been the person in front of me, you know, hitting their brakes too hard and skidding, so I had to get out of the way and got hit that way. But
where did you move from?
I was originally from Glenwood, Minnesota.
Where is that?
It's like 2.5 hours north of here near Alexandria, and
okay.
Like an hour west of St. Cloud.
Are people any better? I know in St. Cloud they're not better with the rain. I've been up there. Are people any better with the rain up there in Alexandria?
I wouldn't necessarily say that they're better because we have a lot of elderly drivers, so they're going 30 in the rain.
Which is tough.
Which, yeah, I mean, and I guess granted I'd rather have that than have them going 80 and have to skid or anything
that
like
would
that,
be my grandpa.
Yeah, because that seems to be like the other end of the spectrum there. But
yeah.
It's definitely not any safer when it rains because people lose their minds regardless. It just seems to be a natural thing here in Minnesota.
I've never understood this. That I understand with the rain, we're not Seattle, but people
yeah.
in Seattle say it's not any better out there. But with the snow for sure, and with any element, people here suck. And you think that, you know, we have rain here. I mean, that happens in the summer.
Yeah.
And we should be thankful we have rain, not snow all year round. And I love the snow, but I hate driving in it. I mean, people just never figure out snow driving, realize
no.
that you slip on ice. I've never understood that.
There are too many people that think their brakes can handle any type of weather.
And it's yeah.
like, you may have four-wheel drive, but all four of those wheels may not grip the road.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
kind of the thing you need to be aware of. But
no.
We're
getting a little
we're
off topic.
A little bit off topic.
Either
no
way,
worries.
In all sincerity, we're trying to get you and Max on the same podcast at some time.
We and are it will
to get
happen.
Henry. Yeah, I'm sure. We are trying to get Henry. I guess he's an expert. He's an engineer here, so I'm sure he knows the technical aspects better than both of us do. I certainly don't. But
yeah, I mean, for the most part, I'm just kind of throwing things up at the wall and hoping they stick.
Yeah, I'm glad every listener knows that right off the bat. We're just throwing stuff at the wall. But no, you know, obviously we're big gamers. I think Max knows the news pretty well, and Henry seems to know the technical side. But
yeah.
Either way, we're going to...
we've got the charming personality side. That's where it comes
exactly,
from.
Exactly. So in this episode, we're going to discuss The Witcher 3's drop dead date, Guitar Hero and Rock Band, as well as the GameStop selling old consoles. But we're going to start with the release of Mortal Kombat X and microtransactions. This is something Max and I just did. I think it was a slow news week, and
yeah.
Max and I just did a microtransaction episode. So people can look back in the catalog and kind of see where we come from. But from your end of things, where do you see, I mean, do you like them? Do you kind of understand it's a business practice? Where do you see this kind of?
I mean, up until like just about 6 months ago, I didn't know a whole lot about the microtransactions.
Yeah.
I didn't really deal exclusively buying anything online. I was real hard copy getting the
really?
Discs for every game. Yeah, I don't know
old
why, because a lot of my games are broken or scratched or
yeah,
rented
yeah.
to someone and never given back. So it was kind
yep.
of a dead-end street there, but I think they're a good idea. I just think they're being pushed way too much. It seems like developers are taking advantage of that, giving
yeah.
themselves like, okay, we don't have this level done or this character rendered fully. Well, let's just make them DLC. Let's make someone pay for it later.
Yeah.
We can talk about this in a little bit, but the other thing is like, if it's free to play, it's pay to win. And
yeah.
that strategy, you know, kind of with microtransactions, I'm not the biggest fan of.
Yeah.
But you know a little more about them than I do. I wasn't quite sure exactly what they were in regards.
Yeah, and I probably know it because of Max,
yeah.
because he's interested in that. I also am someone who I'm willing to spend on certain things, but I am kind of cheap at the end of the day. And I don't know. I mean, we can get into this with Mortal Kombat and stuff. I'm not opposed to microtransactions if they're not invasive.
Yeah.
Obviously, if it's pay to win. The other thing, too, is you just don't want to be in a situation where you know, I think with certain games I bought, you know, the DLCs and then your friends move on and you feel like you kind of wasted that money
mm-hmm.
or with Mortal Kombat. And I guess I'll start here. I'm a huge Mortal Kombat guy. I like the new one. Do you play the 2011 one?
If I did, I don't remember.
Yeah.
Like,
it's a 360
but
one.
Yeah. Whichever one had, oh no, now I'm mixing them up because
yeah.
now I'm thinking I might be thinking of
like Soul Calibur.
Soul Calibur,
like
yep,
that.
Cause
yeah,
because I was going to say Yoda and Ezio as the main character, as the
That
ones.
I believe is Soul Calibur,
yep.
Which I played a little bit. I played that kind of two consoles ago, so it was probably a GameCube game I
okay.
played. But
yeah,
I don't know.
For the most part growing up, I think those games were too gruesome, so my parents probably pushed
yeah.
me away from them.
I know I did. I was never a fan of blood and gore, and I think I was just introduced to it. I remember playing with my friend Tony, a really close friend of mine, and his older brothers and their kind of friends.
Okay.
We used to play it with the neighborhood, and I think I was so competitive, my competitive overdrive overrode the fact that I was like, dude, this guy's like arm is getting ripped off.
Yep.
You know? So I think I just really got into it, and it's always been kind of like a childhood thing to me that I just, which is really messed up. But like,
well, you get a taste for that blood. Your eyes start going a little crazy.
I'm a cold-blooded killer, but... I don't know. I really like the game. I think it is kind of funny. It's along the lines of like Monty Python where it's over the top. Yeah.
They released that trailer where they showed all the death cutscenes, and I was thinking like my introduction to gore was Gears of War 1. So
it
was kind of cool to see the bones and stuff get ripped apart.
And it's just impractical. It's like they're ripping people in half and, you know, like shooting you with, you know, giant bombs. I don't know. There's a lot of kind of ridiculous Scorpion throws spears into your head, but I think it's a fun game. I think it's a game that's really rewarding to players who both casual who can jump in and just play, and then there's also people who really understand the you know, more than the fatalities, but the combinations and stuff, and understand how to play at a little higher level. It's for the casual and for the hardcore gamer. It's always been done well. Having said that, and I always said this, Max and I think talked about this in an earlier podcast. There's certain games I'm willing to spend more on now that I wasn't earlier, and it's kind of flip-flopped. Like if it's a game that's really well told, a really good story game, tends to be one player, I tend to buy it right away. Dragon Age was one of my favorite games. I went out and got that probably day one. I think Max and I both did. And when I was in college or even in high school, I probably would actually gone out and got a game like Mortal Kombat, where it's great for a you know, kind of, you live in a house, you got a whole bunch of people around who like video games.
It's a little easier to get that type of game to go.
And even kind of justify purchases, because God forbid, you know, you kind of be like, hey, can you throw me $5 so we can get this character?
Yep.
You know, you're not going to have that. I mean, I live with two other guys, but they're not huge gamers. And even if they were, it's not like living with 8 people like it did in a college environment.
And it's not necessarily the same feeling as it was when we were younger and trying to split games or stuff with friends, because now it's like, you know, give me $5 so we can buy this character. And it's like down the road, two more characters are going to come out, and then you're going to be, you know, back kind of like knocking on their door for donations kind of
deal. Yeah, and you don't want to be going around. You're not, what is that called? The guys at the bells. So you don't want to be that guy for video games. Oh,
see, I always just think of the Jehovah's Witnesses.
Yeah,
knocking door to door. But yeah, the Santa Claus ringers are another good
metaphor
for that.
That's not a good cause. That's not, you know, that's not what you want to be begging people for money for. Having said that, I think I'm going to purchase this at some point. I think Max and I were talking about
it. You will break down.
Yeah, I will break down. It's when I do, and I think I might just wait them out. I think I might just see if they have kind of a collector's edition later on. I mean, it's a game I want to own. It's a game I kind of want in my collection, so that if I meet someone who's really into Mortal Kombat, as my friends were and mm-hmm. stuff like that, they'll play it. But as of right now, I know Max isn't getting it. My friend who's really into it, I don't think has an Xbox One yet, and I'd probably purchase for Xbox One. And there's no like immediacy to it, and I really, the big question for me is, am I spending $60, am I spending $70, or is this gonna be a $150 game?
Yeah, when they're coming out with games right off the bat and they're saying, hey, you're gonna be spending $120, but it's gonna be the deluxe edition, you know, that really puts me off for a lot of games, because it's like, what else are you gonna be asking from me once the game's out? I don't want to have to pay that much money and then continue to shell it out.
Yeah,
I'd rather have it be kind of like the pre-order stuff, and that's it. I'd rather them not expand on it too much more after that. Like going into like the early DLC stuff with Black Ops and all the Call of Duty games, those map packs were a great addition to the game, worth the money in my opinion. But going into some of the future things, I could see them doing specific DLCs just to get expansions for your guns, and I don't want to have to keep going into the store and pay for those
things.
That's
called nickel and diming, and that's not a fun thing for the purchaser. What I'd say is, first of all, I understand that there's inflation, and that when's the first time you bought a $60 game? And it had to be like N64 was $50.
I would say it was after N64.
Yeah,
and GameCube probably brought that $60.
Yeah,
margin.
So that would be GameCube, PlayStation 2, and original Xbox, right?
Yep.
Would that be? And so I mean, I think the thing with that is that games have gotten bigger. We're going to get into this with Witcher 3 because that's a huge game. But Dragon Age is a huge game even by Xbox 360 standards.
Yes.
So the Xbox One obviously handles it perfectly, but or the PlayStation 4, they handle it well. But I know those games have gotten bigger. I know that you need to have certain staff members for all the different roles. And that's the great thing about video games. It's a collaboration between your programmers and your storytellers and your artists, stuff like that, musicians as well. So I understand all that. I'm willing to spend more than $60 on Mortal Kombat. I don't want to get to a point where it almost feels like gambling, and you're in the hole and you're like, dude, I can't get out of the casino. And
they keep bringing new characters out. I can't help myself.
Yeah, no. Yeah. And it would be different if you're living in a house with people where everyone has their favorite character, and God forbid someone kind of throws you a little bit of money, or maybe you get them a few beers or something. I don't know. Some exchange where you somehow beer always is involved in college.
It would be a good transaction.
Yeah, exactly. But I don't know. With this game, how Goro's in the AI and on the character selection screen, but part of the DLC. I mean, this is kind of things that I just am like, I don't want to touch this. I don't want to get in a situation again. I'll say it again, but don't want to be in the casino where it's so far in the hole. I'm trying to rack up debt again.
I'll say one of the earlier games. Earlier, like a year and a half ago for me, when Injustice came out, they had the DLC come out for that where you can play as like 6 or 7 different characters, and all of their slots were on the selector screen, but just blacked out. And it's kind of every time I go into that game, it makes me want to play it less and less because I didn't buy those characters.
Yeah.
And it's like there was Zatanna and Batgirl and like people I may not have known as the other ones, but it would have been fun to play them. And it just seems like a waste of my money to go back now and buy each one. Because I don't think that you can get all of them with one purchase. You have to make, I think, at least 2
purchases.
Yeah,
and I would never. And that's the thing. I want to see if Mortal Kombat will offer that, even at maybe a $70 price point or whatever. But
a collector's edition, like you said, would be a much better route for
them. And I don't want to have this kind of stage issue and stuff. I think Killer Instinct did that a little bit, and I realized it was free, but for a while, I feel like you could play as multiple characters for free on the console, and then they took them away when they brought in like the next season.
Yep, it's the play to win system. It's like, we'll give you everything you need, but if you want something better, it's going to cost you. The Evolve franchise that just started here, they were nickel and diamond right off the bat. They were saying, you're going to be paying every update that we have.
And again, I understand why they do that, because they're trying to, obviously, every company wants more money.
Yes.
Bottom line, every person
does. Really can't blame them for that.
Yeah. I think with the Evolve, I understand it on the same lines of Mortal Kombat. I think if I was in college and like the people I lived with were into it, and as long as there was a decent, the nice thing about Mortal Kombat, I can't speak to Evolve because I haven't played it. I've just read the reviews, but is that, the barrier to entry isn't really that high. As long as Evolve is a pick-up and play game, and we're playing it, I'm more willing to kind of feed money into the machine. I think of now, like, it sounds like a cool game. It's also a game that, 5 years from now, I probably can get for $10 and be like, okay, that's what it was. And that's the problem I have with these games, is if they don't have the lasting power where 5 years from now it's not fun, why did you spend all this money in the first place? Right. I guess that's the way I see it. Maybe I'm getting old. I don't know.
Well, I feel like that too. It kind of is the cynical part of me that's being brought out in that, like, why am I even spending the money? But in the same sense, you're right. You want a lasting game. I have games I bought back in 2003 that I can't even play because I sold the console.
Yeah.
But it's like, if I get
what
to
console
go,
would that be?
The GameCube.
Okay, gotcha.
So I have MLB Slugfest 2003, which was a phenomenal game.
I think I played that.
But just, if those types of games would span out and I would be able to play them now, that's what you want. You don't want to have to worry about paying $70 and then putting it away on the shelf 2 weeks later.
In all sincerity, as we kind of enter the digital age, the way I see it is, I think and Max disagrees with me. Again, this is on our, I believe this is on our microtransaction episode, but he thinks it's always going to be a $60 price point. I think each game might even be individual where there's not kind of a common price point, that it's just your sports game. Maybe it's a big upfront cost, and then it's just $20 to add a roster every year. And as the year goes on, you spend less, but of course you're not, playing with the updated roster at the beginning of the season. With a game like Mortal Kombat, maybe it's just a $20 base price, and then you kind of buy the characters you want, and there's other characters, but you kind of have to make decisions like that. Or, they release something that says, hey, it's, let's say $60, because we were used to that. It's $60, you get this slew of characters, plus you'll have to buy more later. I mean, I think there's a lot of different things. I also wonder how much advertising, especially in sports games, is going to become more prominent, because that's a way to make money. It's not unlike a newspaper, kind of what we do here at The Ticket, where, you know, the radio makes money off of you know, ads, and you have banner ads on 105theticket.com and stuff like that. So I feel like maybe there's kind of going to be a combination. And at the end of the day, I mean, I spent $160 technically on Grand Theft Auto 5 because I liked it so much on 360. I wanted it on Xbox One. But here's the thing. I never paid once for – they never nickel and dime me. I've gotten all the DLC free.
They gave it to you straight, and I think Rockstar deserves a big kudos for that.
Yeah. I mean, of the companies there, I think that I was a big Ubisoft guy, and then Unity came out, and I know we talked about this on the last podcast, but
I could go for days on how I lost my trust in that.
I was so mad at them, and like I said, Rockstar, you know that they're going to release their game like 3 years after they say they will, but it'll be perfectly well done. It's not going to nickel and dime you. I mean, it's hard to argue with Grand Theft Auto and Red Dead and all these, so I know we're straying a little bit away, but I feel like maybe it's just a priority thing. You know, I feel like maybe if you get away from college and you're not around, you know, basically a mass of people your age, unless you really have a good online network, and mine is fine. It's not like it was in college where literally I had neighbors.
Right, yeah, where you had to go, yeah.
Yeah, but I don't know. Maybe it's like as a whole, as long as the company is releasing multiple different kinds of games, they probably made the same, they will make the same amount of money off of me. It's just, it's going to come from different games as I get older. I don't know how that works, but
I liked the system that you were putting out there, how each game could possibly have a different standard, as you will. I think it'll be something they'd have to struggle with at first, but I think it could be a good advancement, because like with sports and advertising, they could make the game cheap, but then have, you know, like you said, the upgrade roster and everything like that. And then each year you have new sponsors and stuff like that. So it kind of refreshes the game and makes it worth that price, you know, so you're not looking back 2 years later already and saying it wasn't worth it.
You ready to talk about Witcher a little bit?
Yeah, if you want to go into that.
Yeah, so I mean, I think what you brought up when we were off the air is just the drop dead date is May 19th. Did you play The Witcher 2? I can't remember again.
No, I didn't. I watched a friend play the majority of the second one. He beat it. I was sitting there when he beat it, but I never got into the game.
Do you know which path he was on, Yorvith or Rauch? Rauch.
Okay. I want to say, yeah.
So that was the one with the camp, right? Yep. Yeah, so I played that route first and didn't like it as much. Kind of got to a point where I stalled and actually played the other path.
Oh, it's, and just went back?
It's really cool. I mean, it's three acts, and basically in the second, I don't know if they call them acts, but it's basically the same thing. In the second one, that's where it really diverges, and then it actually kind of wraps back around. It's a cool game. I don't know if you noticed this with your friend playing, but you choose kind of the ending, and it's just how you interpret the events of the game.
Yep.
And so I don't want to give it away. Max is a little more cavalier about just being like, they didn't play it. You know, but I don't want to give it away because it was a very well-told story. I mean, I don't know how much you like that, but I felt like it was very interesting. There's very memorable characters.
I've got to say the story was good. I mean, again, it was one of those things where I didn't watch the whole game. So like, it was like, I popped in and was like, hey, what are you doing? Oh, yeah. Playing Witcher. Let me see what's going on.
Yeah.
But it was definitely the point at the end of it. I was there like, you know,
yeah,
sitting on the edge of my seat. Will
yeah. I you know, I don't know. Again, memorable characters, well-told story. It's really funny. And again, I'm maybe spoiling it a little bit. I'm playing Max here. But you can kill off the king in like act two and you can leave him. And it really does affect. I mean, that's a major character. And so I don't know. As much as you don't customize, you know, the main character or anything like that, you do. It feels like your own because you are making the decisions and you are making interpretations about what's happening in the
game. And
it
does have that ripple effect.
Geralt is the guy's name.
Okay.
Yeah. So I mean, I would definitely recommend it if you're going to play this. Again, it's kind of funny that this is a game, actually, I might drop $60. Again, I'm hesitant to do kind of the early download, not because I don't mind that system. It's cool that you have it downloaded and you can just play it day one.
Right.
But it's more I just want, you know, I've kind of lost trust with, and maybe it's not with Witcher in general, but just making sure that this game doesn't come out broken and I don't have a, you know, huge game one patch and then kind of wonder what I made that purchase.
I always wait for reviews on most of the big selling games now just because I've been through the struggle of getting a broken game, and it's one of those things where, like, at the time I was saying, come on, it's 2000 whatever, we shouldn't have games broken on their release dates, but at the same time it's like, you know, I could have waited. that 2 weeks. I just had that game itch, you know, in my pocket, burning, or the money burning a hole in my pocket, telling me to go get it now.
And that's the business side, right? They want to create that demand, and rightfully so. If you create it, I think you can get, you know, paid. But
with Witcher 3, they're saying, you know, it's gold now, so which means it's not going to have any stalls, any bugs that they have to fix last minute. And I think announcing that is another one of the ways that they push for stuff like that. They're like, hey, it's good to go. You should get out there and get this game as soon as it drops.
Well, I think that's smart on their end. They realize what they're learning lessons, which is positive. Every you know, company probably should do that. And like I said, The Witcher was well done. The one weird thing about it was choppy, and it just felt like it was translated from, you know, a computer game.
Yes.
I don't know what that was, but I think if this game plays smoothly, this is a player to be kind of like Dragon Age in my mind. And I know you haven't played it, but Dragon Age was game of the year in my mind last year. They really did well kind of in terms of the path of where it was, where it went from a really expansive game with horrible graphics, really bad graphics, to sweet graphics and a very short game and less complex, to a good combination of both. And I hope The Witcher kind of finalizes that. And like I said, I think this could be one of those that comes out. Now, Mortal Kombat, we should say, got really good scores. It scores within the 80s to even, you know, some people are giving it nines or no perfect scores, but it, you know, it's up there. I think The Witcher could be one of those that almost everyone's cranking out, you know, nines, tens, depending on if they do it well.
Exactly. I think if it comes back with a good initial review, they're going to be seeing top marks just because the fact that, like you were saying, it's going to make that kind of jump from the choppiness it had.
Yeah,
I didn't even play the first one. I have no idea how that one looked.
Yeah, I think it was a PC one. I don't know.
I feel like, you know, that might have been not so drastic of a change, but I really feel like 2 to 3 is going to be something that, again, I might even go check it out. If I see a good review, I might go rent it or buy it and see what it's like.
Yeah, definitely check out the gameplay trailer. I know Max, literally, I told you this off the air, but Max just blows up my phone anytime something like this happens. You would think it's like an emergency, like if I don't see it, it'll go away. But you know, it was really cool. I think they really did show, and I know various sites have had like the first 3 hours or something like that, or 3 hours of gameplay.
Oh, really?
Wow. Yeah,
that's extensive.
And it's hard to argue that they're just showing you, hey, you know, we're serious about giving you a good product on day one. And you know, maybe this does sway me, or maybe, you know, as it gets closer, maybe I make that decision to go download it and kind of get it going. Just because, if anything, it's kind of the opposite of a multiplayer game where you want to keep pace with everyone.
Yeah, you're doing your own thing. You get to spend whatever time and do whatever things you want.
And it's more, I just want to have it. I want to be able to wake up one day and be like, hey, I want to play The Witcher.
Yep.
So, I think it's, I don't know, this one has the potential to really kind of be big in my mind.
I agree. I got to say, with Far Cry 4's release, you know, I never played any of the Far Cry games before, jumped into 4, and now it's just like you said, one of those things. I'll wake up one morning, or it'll be like 4 in the middle of the night, and I'm just staying up because I had this, you know, urge to play games, and it'll come in my brain. I'm like, you know, I could play Far Cry 4. I could go explore the mountains and figure something out.
Yeah.
They do such a good job now of keeping open world games continuously expansive. Like, even if you have a border in the game, there's more in that border you can do than ever before.
Yeah, so you never played 3?
No, I want to say that I saw a gameplay for it, but that might have been 2, because it's been a while since 3 came out, hasn't it?
Yeah, Max and I talked about it for a while. So 2 came out kind of the beginning of that 360 PlayStation 3 era, and it was just, 2 was weird. It was like way too ambitious, and it just was, you had malaria and your guns would break down.
Yeah,
and
I can't
was
believe
too much going
that
on.
They would do that to you. Just stick you with a disease that's going to kill you the whole
that's
game.
That's terrible. Yeah, terrible thing to do to someone. But anyways, it was not, I don't know, it's just way too complicated. 3 basically nailed it. It was like Assassin's Creed at its best, plus guns, plus, you know, whatever Far Cry 2 did well. Cool environment. And I think 4, from my knowledge, is just a very good kind of, it's not like it took the big leap that 2 to 3 did, but it just really followed up with 3 well. It's a game I need to get. It's just unfortunate because Unity was so bad, and really Watch Dogs wasn't that great.
Yeah,
I kind of got pissed and didn't buy
hesitant.
It.
I understand. I just got it off the marketplace. I didn't buy it initially because, again, it was one of those things like, it's so big, it's so new, there might be some huge problems with it right off the bat. And I've seen fail videos of like stuff in the game glitching.
Yeah,
but that's most often it expected happens with games. Yeah, but otherwise, it's polished really well. Going out into the world, I would say, is one of the best things in that game, the open world experience.
Yeah, so I'll look at that. But I think Witcher 3 is going to be along the same line. It's huge environment, I think polished gameplay. again, potential, I think, for The Witcher, you know, this is potentially be huge. I don't know. Is there anything else to say about this one?
I just agree with you on that. Yeah. Like I said earlier, it may be one of those games I go back and buy because I didn't have as much interest with it before.
Yeah.
But when they polish games up, they do a really good job of making yeah. you want it again.
Yeah, exactly. So Guitar Hero and Rock Band is our next topic. At least for me, I played Guitar Hero in college and of high school, and it was actually kind of a big thing. I don't know about you, but I felt like almost anyone who owned a 360 or PS3 had it.
Yeah, I didn't have Guitar Hero. My brother got Rock Band for his PlayStation 3.
Yeah.
But I went to youth groups. I went to school events. I went to, like, even in class some days, people would bring Rock Band
That's
or Guitar
funny.
Hero when we had a free hour and play it there.
Yeah.
And it was huge. They were both fantastic games in the start. I think they kind of ran their run, and it's weird to see them trying to revive them now.
Yeah.
But they seem like they've got a good idea. I read the article just before we came in here saying yeah. that Guitar Hero is going to have a new controller, whereas Rock Band will stick with the old stuff. They allow you to use the old equipment and old controllers for that game.
Which may to clarify, just in case someone hasn't played this, you had about one or two guitars for Guitar Hero.
Yes.
You with Rock Band, you have like all sorts of different equipment, so that'd be a really expensive purchase again.
Yeah, I think the full kit was the drum set, two guitars, and a microphone.
Yeah.
If I'm correct on that.
Yeah,
you
I think
the
that
bass
sounds
and
right.
regular guitar.
Yeah.
And I think it was the reason that that one didn't do so well.
So expensive.
Yeah, after like the, I think they had the Beatles Rock Band, which did phenomenal for their sales.
Yeah.
It brought them back up. But I think I remember reading something when they first came out that it was like half of the profits that Guitar Hero made from their first launch. And I think that kind of is discouraging.
Yeah.
When you have all that stuff that you're trying to push out there, you're like, hey, we have a whole kit, but no one's really looking for that.
Yeah, so Guitar Hero, new controller, they're adding more strings. I think it'll work. I mean, I think that people love music. Obviously, we're sitting in a music studio here that's mm-hmm. very popular in the Twin Cities, and they've done a good job kind of mixing it up where, you know, there's something for everyone. I don't know about you. Those Just Dance things are nice. I know that people, I don't own them, but I've always gone to people. It's people with families or people that are yep. a little bit older, and it's just, they're a blast. I always come away sweating. People are like, you're nasty, dude. But,
but you had a blast the whole time.
Yeah.
I agree.
And so, again, it's a mix of music and kind of some talent, and I think... at the end of the day, obviously, you're not going to be a great guitar player playing Guitar Hero. But
right. You won't learn much other than timing, I think, from these games.
Yeah.
But
they're fun.
Yeah, and it is a good idea to try something new. I think that Guitar Hero might have more success with this controller. I still think Rock Band will have success reviving.
Yeah.
Weird as it may be, but I think that Guitar Hero will have more success with that new controller just because... a lot of people complained about the old controller, and I feel
yeah.
like if you give them something new, maybe yeah. they'll change their minds. Who knows? Maybe everyone will hate it and
yeah.
want the old controller back, but I think it is a good medium. I'm excited to see what songs they put up on the set list,
yeah,
and they should announce that it's going to be coming out in fall, they're saying.
And that's actually a positive with these games. Now, my guess is you're going to have to pay for another package of songs, obviously.
Probably.
But you know what, with these kind of games, I mean, I think it's fun that there's an ever-expanding list of songs to play. I think that there's something to be said about a controller that sits out, especially as people are moving away from discs and moving to digital download. You have something that it's obvious if you own that game. And certainly for college environments, or again, like kind of family environments, it's mm-hmm. a really fun thing to do. And I don't know. I don't think you can go wrong with something like music and kind of this interactive, kind of beyond the screen kind of game.
No, it really is a good E for everyone type of game. Just because it doesn't take a tremendous amount of effort. I mean, there are certain people that probably couldn't hit all the orange notes. I know I was one of them.
Yeah.
But it is one thing that you're happy to try and learn new things for it.
Yeah.
And as a family type game too, I know my family played Rock Band, and having my 50-year-old parents, you know, on drum
That's
set
funny.
Or microphone was hilarious. So
that's funny. That is actually pretty hilarious.
It definitely does have that potential for a good revival.
It's like karaoke, kind of, except
yeah,
you got extra, yeah.
And I think that kind of brings a whole nother side to video games, because you have the sports side and you have the shooters and the horror games
yep.
and the fighting, and so to kind of get rid of a music aspect of that would really kind of diminish that side of the
yeah.
games. I really thought that Just Dance was a good game. I only played it a couple times,
yeah.
But I think that keeping those types of things around is a plus.
All right. Finally, we move on to GameStop, kind of talking about the older consoles. Max and I had, you know, kind of went back and forth on this one. They're fun stores to go in. I just don't go to stores anymore unless I get groceries. You know right. what I mean? Or essentials. Now, some people will consider video games an essential, but the people were always great interacting with and be like, oh, I like this game, and you know that stuff kind of gets lost. I mean, that's more what you know I talked to Max about, really. Like, what game should I get?
Yeah, I don't think that the in-store experience is as great as it as it's advertised perhaps or as yeah. people think it might be.
It depends
be,
on where you go. Yeah, at the end of the day, true. I think it's who the people are. But you're right. I mean, you could have a bad experience or sometimes yeah, it's just busy. Mm-hmm. At the end, you know, I'm trying to move away from discs and all that stuff, let alone driving, you know.
Right. And that's the other aspect of it is it'd be nice to have them set something up so you could do all your stuff online with
yeah.
them. Obviously, they'd get rid of their store locations, but they would have just as big, if not a larger, group yeah. of people coming to them for business if they moved everything online.
Having said that, I think the positive with going kind of back to the old consoles is maybe this actually becomes kind of like an arcade setting where they have, you know, like a Sega Dreamcast on
yeah.
display.
I didn't think
or
about
N60,
that.
Yeah, something kind of crazy like that. You have N64s out there. Of course, I think that'd be a staple in any store. But maybe it becomes more each location like is unique to its own. Like they got a hold of, you know, a Dreamcast or they got a hold of this system that people haven't heard of in television or something like that.
Right.
And I think you got to go old school with that because the fundamentals of GameStop really are. And I know they got in kind of with these new games. But I think that the fundamentals of it is old games and kind of selling games back and introducing you to kind of the origin of series and stuff like that. And it's proven time and again that people like old games, like old systems. I played N64 in college, and that was well after, you know, that was new or shiny. And people were, you know, I personally think this is the direction to go in.
Yeah.
And hopefully then maybe new games, it's almost like an advertising mechanism where you go in there for the old games and then look on the walls and say, oh, this is coming out, this
yeah,
is coming
like
out, this, something like that.
If you were to go back and play the Tomb Raiders or something, then you yeah. can come back and get the newest Tomb Raider that's
exactly.
coming out. Yeah, I think that it's really cool to be able to go back and get those old school games because just like you said, everyone knows those game consoles. I mean, you may not know the Virtual Boy and like those, but like you hear SNES and the N64, and it kind of sparks
Super
a
Mario
lot of people
World
our ages.
Duck Hunt. Imagine yeah. playing that in a store like that.
I could definitely see that being a great attraction for GameStop to have tournaments or things like that on the
yeah.
old consoles. Because I mean, back when people had LAN parties, that was a huge thing to hold at,
yeah.
at GameStop or at a comic book store, things like that.
LAN parties.
And, yeah, and
that seems really
crazy
old.
To think that I know anything about LAN parties, but it's just one of those things that when you go back to old school gaming, that was where it was at. I mean,
yeah.
everyone had to get into something like that in order to really do multiplayer or to get with a big group of people.
Yeah. I mean, truthfully, I think you got to go with it. I know that's an aggressive approach, but kind of go with that arcade mentality because what you do is you get a lot of foot traffic and you get a lot
yes.
of people centered in one space. You also, there's an online component where they may say, hey, we don't have, you know, DK64 at this location, but we do at this one or GoldenEye's, you know, this
mm-hmm.
one or that one. And, I mean, at the end of the day, what's going to keep people, and this goes back to the first point of what keeps people buying these things and kind of participating is, you know, if it's a one-player game, you're sharing the story and how you saw it from that perspective. And from the multiplayer perspective, it's other people to play with. And so
right.
this is the best way, I think, to make it a community thing. And like I said, the less, you know, antisocial you make gaming seem, the more people are going to be attracted to it. I'm talking people at the margins and who
right.
aren't hardcore. So that's the way you got to go. And I don't know, we're extrapolating off of a small nugget of news, but I feel like that's, I mean, I don't know how else you do that. I think
it
that's
does,
how they stay alive.
Yeah, it does really reach out to that future possibility, because I think that places like GameStop need something to keep themselves going. You saw the death of Blockbuster, you saw
yeah.
the death of home video stores all over the nation. You know, they're not necessarily the home video store, but they're really kind of becoming outdated because
yeah.
everything is becoming microtransactions, DLC. You know, you can just go online and get everything. And like you said, people don't really even want to drive to places sometimes
yeah.
Or deal with the rush that's in a in-person
store. We just went through rush hour. Why would I want to drive
right?
in that, ever?
It does not make sense to have to go you know, go to a store for a pre-order game, sit there for 6 hours in line with 100 other people just to cram into the store, get your game and go home when you could have just pre-ordered it online, sat comfortably.
That was an interesting word.
Sorry about that brain fart. But comfortably in your chair in the middle of the night and been playing it while they were still in line. I just think that they need something to keep themselves out there in the water.
Well, knowing you, you couldn't get a pre-ordered game if it was raining because someone would probably hit you.
Yep. And I would not make it to the store. You're absolutely right.
Yeah.
No, I think it'll be good. I think it'll be fun to have the older consoles. Just, I think I'm going to go in and buy an SNES just to go back and play some of the games I never got to play as a kid.
Yeah.
I played the original NES and played the Dreamcast a little bit, but my parents
Dreamcast
didn't let us have video game consoles until I was like 10 or something.
Yeah,
so
I got
the N64 as my first one.
That was my first one as well. So I don't know, N64 I feel like is going to be the staple, and I think maybe some Sega Genesis. I feel like that was a very popular one, but I mean, yeah, I just think I'm with you. There were so many great Super Nintendo games, and there's a reason why I think Nintendo's smart maybe to keep their IPs is to make those things still valuable.
Yeah, and now that we know that they're doing this, I mean, maybe Nintendo had this set up for a while and they wanted to keep this
underground
thing.
Network. Oh,
they really do kind of this weird cloak and dagger thing over at Nintendo. I feel like they know what's going to happen 10 years from now, but they're just waiting for everyone else to figure it out.
You hope it's that way. Obviously, the way it seems, outside of this kind of Illuminati kind of conspiracy theory thing, and I'm not discounting what you're saying. It's just it seems like they're kind of going backwards or whatever. They're kind of following everyone else, but maybe that's right. And like I said, I mean, that's the one thing Nintendo has is that, you know, people aren't going to go to that store. Well, you know what? People may go to that store to play the original Halo, but I feel like they're more likely to go to play an old Super Nintendo game.
I agree. It has the same attraction as seeing a Miss Pac-Man in a bar or at a diner. I have my quarters ready most of the time in case I see an arcade machine because I loved every single arcade machine I played. Miss Pac-Man and Street Fighter and all those types of different things that you could just rock for a couple hours straight.
Yeah.
That was really my first introduction to gaming.
Yeah.
And I think having those consoles will just be that extra kick, that extra flair they need for people to come in. I was trying to think about something I was going to mention. If they do this also, it gives them a lot of opportunity if they have a same series game to release it in a package with the next game coming out. They can say, you know, hey, a certain DLC package you can get includes the NES, you know, game of this or whatever.
Yeah.
So if you have the console, then you just get the game for free.
No, that'd be cool.
And who knows? I mean, maybe they even go back and make some cartridge games. I got my fingers crossed on that one. That would be fantastic.
Yeah.
If they really see a boom in this old console setup, they might want to, you know, maybe
no that no load times.
I know you wouldn't go for that because you're getting to digital and you
I know I'm
get
new
rid
age
of all that physical
I'm sorry
stuff.
I live in 2015. No, I do, and truthfully I do still have the N64 games. They were brilliant. I mean, that was Nintendo's heyday. I think I said that in the last podcast.
It absolutely was, though.
Yeah, so I think we kind of exhausted everything here.
It was a good list. I'm glad that we had four topics this time and we still went, I don't know, it was 30 minutes about?
30, 45 minutes. That's, I don't know. We're efficient here. It's tons of fun. But
we get as much as we can crammed into this segment, and I think we did a good job with, especially with the Mortal Kombat microtransactions, because that's one of those things we're going to see so much of.
Big topic, yeah. So anyways, we're going to try to get you and Max on the same podcast. Try to get some more characters in here. But for right now, this has been 105 The Ticket's video game podcast from Cold Omaha. Thanks for listening.